An Escape from a Threatened Danger, Chapter 46, Joshua 2. One warm evening, two men cautiously approached the open gates of the big city Jericho. The entire day, they had roamed about the city's outskirts, looking around to see what everything was like. Now that night is approaching, and they will try to enter the city. Calm outwardly, but with pounding hearts, they walk toward the gate and slip inside. Quietly, they walk over the streets and view everything closely. They stand still at the walls, for they receive their special attention. They are astonished. These walls are so high and wide. The men look at each other, but don't say a word. The walls are so broad that complete houses have been built upon them. One of these houses looks like an inn. They enter this house, for they would like to lodge there during the night. What they are doing is a very risky undertaking. Risky? Why? Well, they are in a hostile city. If they are discovered, they will be killed. Who are these two men? From where do they come? And what are they doing in Jericho? The Israelites are lying in the plains of Moab. Many things already have happened there. The attempt of Balak, the king of Moab, to have that people cursed by Balaam has failed. Their old beloved leader, Moses, has died there. They have mourned for Moses 30 days, and now that those days are past, they stand ready to march into Canaan. Their new leader, Joshua, has taken over as commander of the Israelites. He didn't make himself their commander. No, God appointed him. Moses had brought the people to the border of Canaan. Joshua will bring them into the promised land. But that will not be so easy. The Canaanites are strong, and the walls of their cities are high and wide. If God doesn't help, they never will be able to conquer that land. 40 years ago, their cities already were strong. During all those years, the Canaanites had time to make the walls of their cities still broader and higher. It really has become impossible for man to conquer that land. But the Lord will help. With him, nothing is impossible. One day the Lord said to Joshua, "Get ready to go over this Jordan. Be strong and of good courage, for you will gain the victory. Fear not." Joshua believes what the Lord says. He secretly calls two men. The people must not know anything about it. He says to these two Israelites, "The city of Jericho lies over there. Go there, spy out that city, and see what it is like." The two men go. They are a pair of courageous fellows. They are daring, for it is very dangerous. If they are discovered, it will cost them their lives. The death penalty is always the punishment for spies. It was so at that time, and it is the same today. These men do not fear. They believe that God will help them. Unnoticed, they leave the tents of the Israelites, hastily walk to the river Jordan, jump into the river, swim across, and go further into this region. These two men are alone in a hostile country. These are the two spies who had entered the city of Jericho in the evening. They carefully looked around and finally entered a house which was built upon the city wall. Now you immediately know who these two men are. Undoubtedly, this house was some type of lodging place. A woman lived in this house, a bad woman. However, the two Israelites did not know that. Her name was Rahab. In the meantime, it has become dark. The gates are locked for security. The heavy doors are shut, and the bolts are pushed across it. Soldiers who must keep watch are placed at the gates. Then it becomes quiet and calm in Jericho. No, not altogether. Look over there. A small troop of soldiers is walking straight toward the house of Rahab. They knock on the door and shout, "Open! It is the king's orders." What are the soldiers doing there? It is very dangerous for the two Israelite spies, because they too are in this house. Is it known that they have entered this house? They surely have not been discovered, have they? Yes, the people of Jericho have seen these two foreigners walking around. They have seen them go into the house of Rahab. They have become suspicious. All the inhabitants of Jericho know that the mighty nation of Israel is encamped on the other side Jordan. They have heard that Sihon and Og have been defeated. They have become afraid. When they saw these two foreigners, they immediately thought these men could easily be a couple of Israelites. They immediately hurried to the king and told him about it. And now the soldiers who have been sent by the king are knocking at the door and shout, "Open!" Poor spies, they will be captured. Soon the door is opened. Rahab stands at the threshold. "What do you want? What is the trouble?" she asks in astonishment. "A few foreigners came to your house this evening. They are spies of the Israelites. We have come to take them prisoners. Where are those men? Speak up," the captain orders in a rough tone. "They went long ago," Rahab answers calmly. "When it began to get dark, just before the gates were shut, they left the city. I do not know where they went, but chase them, and you still can overtake them." The soldiers believe Rahab and follow their advice. But what Rahab said was not the truth. It was a lie. Those men had not left, but she had hidden them. Why? Weren't they a pair of enemies of her own country? Yes, that is true. But why did she hide them? Wasn't that treason? Was that right for her to do? Children, now you must be very attentive. Rahab was a wicked heathen woman who had heard about the Israelites. Everyone in Jericho spoke about the Israelites. They knew about all the wonders in Egypt, the passage through the Red Sea, and the defeat of Sihon and Og. The inhabitants of Jericho have become afraid. Rahab also was filled with fear. But deep down in Rahab's heart, respect has come for the God of the Israelites. This God was so powerful. This God was so strong, the idols of Jericho were not so mighty. Her desire was that the God of Israel also would be her God. But she is afraid that cannot be, because she is so wicked. She began to have sorrow over her sinful life, and she believed that in a little while the Israelites will cross Jordan and will conquer the land of Canaan. Rahab does not doubt, but that they will be victorious, for their God is stronger than any other gods. And now look, at once two foreigners enter her home. She doesn't know them. She quickly realizes that they are no inhabitants of the land of Canaan. She learns that they are two Israelites. She understands that they are spies. She immediately decides to help these spies. She does this out of respect for the mighty God of that foreign people, the people whom they fear. She hides them upon the top of the roof of her house, under a pile of flax stalks. She feels no one will be able to find them there. When the soldiers of Jericho came, she calmly went downstairs and deceived the soldiers. She thought up a lie. That was not good. We may never lie. Do you ever lie, children? That will never do you any good, because you can never deceive the Lord. He always knows the truth. Lying is a great sin. You must always speak the truth. So this lie of Rahab was not good. That she hid the spies, thus saving their lives, was good, for she did that by faith. She believed that God would surely help the Israelites and that they would gain the victory. God had promised this to them, and Rahab was convinced that he cannot lie. When the soldiers left, she shut the door, went upstairs, called the men, and told them everything. "Now you must flee," she said, "for they are searching for you. But do not go directly to Jordan, because the soldiers of Jericho will catch you. No, first you must go to the opposite direction, to the mountains. Remain there a few days, and then return." She is silent for a moment. She hesitates. The men nod and thankfully look at her. Together they stand on the roof. Surely the spies saw the guiding hand of the Lord in this. "I have saved your lives," Rahab continues, "but later, when you defeat Jericho, spare me and my family, my parents, brothers, and sisters." The two Israelites promise her. They say, "That is good. We will do it. But you must be sure that every one of your family is in this house. If any of you are on the streets, we cannot help you. You also must bind a scarlet cord in the window. By this we will know that it is your house." Rahab promised to do that. How must these men make their escape? They cannot go through the gates, for they are locked. That is no problem. Rahab can find a way. She is clever. Listen to what she does. She gets a thick rope of a scarlet color, and then with this scarlet cord, she lowered these men through the window. They soon stand upon the ground outside the wall. They are delivered and do as Rahab told them. They flee to the mountains, remain there a few days, and then return. Safe and without any other tragedies, they come to Joshua and tell him what has happened and of their experiences. "We will be victorious," they say to Joshua, "because the people of Jericho are deathly afraid of us, and people who are afraid cannot fight well." It is a few days later. See how busy the Israelites are. They roll up their tents. Everything is being prepared for the journey. Now they will really enter Canaan. Finally. But the river Jordan lies between them and the promised land, and that must be crossed. But how? They have no boats. To walk through the river is impossible, because the water is so high that it is overflowing. Can they swim over? Ah, the men and boys probably could, but what about the women and little children? No, That also is impossible. When everything is ready, they start to move. A few priests walk foremost and carry the ark. Then follows an army of 40,000 soldiers, all of them vigorous and robust. Who are they? You still remember, don't you, that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh received the land of Sihon and Og? If you don't, read it over again. They had promised that they would march first and help their brethren conquer the land. Look at them. They are doing it, too. 40,000 strong, brave soldiers march first. It is an army by itself. That is good. The rest of the people follow. They go in the direction of the Jordan. Behold, the priests already approach the water. What are they going to do? They cannot go ahead. If they walk further, they will drown. Stop. Go no further. But the priests keep walking. They act as though there is no water. They are very near the river. Another 10, another 5, and then only one more step, and they will walk into the water. But then, oh look, suddenly a path comes in the river. On the one side, the water stands still, while it runs further and further away on the other side. The water piles up on their right-hand side and becomes a wall of water. The priests walk with the ark upon this dry path. In the center of Jordan, they stand still. The people march in a large curve around them. The first ones already are climbing the bank on the other side. Children, isn't this a great miracle? No one but God can do that. The Lord can do anything. Nothing is too wonderful for Him to perform. Who would have thought that this would happen? For that reason, the ark went first. This ark was the sign of God's presence. When Moses was still alive, the Lord also performed many wonders. Moses now is dead, and Joshua is their new leader. The Lord again performed a wonder, and that was proof to the Israelites that the Lord would help Joshua too. This increased the people's respect for Joshua. It took hours before everyone marched through Jordan. No one remained behind. All the people came safely to the other side. The priests continued to stand in Jordan with the ark. Look, some men come, and they are carrying 12 large, heavy stones, which they put on a pile in the middle of Jordan. Why are they doing this? What does it mean? God had commanded them to raise up this pile of stones so that this great wonder may never be forgotten. When the water again flows down, the top stones will extend above the water. Later, when the children of Israel will ask, "Father, what is the meaning of those stones in the middle of Jordan?" the father will answer, "At that place the Lord made Jordan dry for us. He formed a dry path extending from one bank to the other." Those stones were a memorial, so they would never forget this great miracle. The children of Israel also must take up 12 stones from the middle of Jordan, and these they set up in Gilgal. So they have 2 memorials, one in Jordan and one in Gilgal. When all this is finished, the priests pick up the ark from the middle of the Jordan and walk to the other side. As soon as they stand on the bank, the wall of water flows down, roaring and foaming, the water rushes downward. After a little while, nothing unusual can be seen anymore, except the stones which extend above the water in the middle of Jordan. God promised Abraham in former times, I will bring your children, your descendants, into this land. Now they are there. The Lord kept his word, for the Lord did what he promised. God never deceives us. The Lord is faithful. The devil is not, for he always deceives us. The devil deceived Adam and Eve, and he deceives us too. He promises us so much, but he gives nothing. Who of the two do you serve? Remember, we cannot serve both at the same time. We either serve the one or the other. If we remain living as we were born, then we serve the devil, for he is our king. But he is a terrible king, a cruel one. Pray and entreat the Lord to deliver you from the clutches of the devil.